offense. And I've preached every Sunday, and now I'm going to share with my favorite person. And I'm not loving her on credit, but I almost made a joke about that. But
so,
not that credit.
So he's been dealing with a lot of the spiritual repercussions, the spiritual aspects of offense and what that means. How many of you enjoyed that teaching? And the sycamine tree, I will never look at that the same. That is just such a powerful example. So based on that, we're going to bring it down today and have a family conversation about the practical application of being offended, how not to be offended, all of those things that regard offense. Because it's great to have the spiritual, but then we got to live this life, right? And we got to do it to reflect Christ. So how do we do that? How do we put this into practice in our life? So first of all, let's kind of define offense.
Well, if you're alive in the year 2022, you know what offense is. Come on. This scripture, Luke 17, is we've been in the chapter of Luke 17. But basically, Jesus said this. He said, it's impossible. But that offenses are going to come. They are coming. They are coming, but how you deal with it is the meat of the subject. And if there's ever been a subject that, I mean, the word is always going to be relevant, but especially in the culture that we live in, there has never been more opportunities to be offended. It's in your face all the time. By the very fact that you are giving an opportunity to like or dislike something, someone's comment, I mean, it's there. Everything needed all the ingredients needed for offense are there. You're opening up an opinion poll. So if you open up the opinion poll, get ready. Because like the scripture says, it's coming. Okay?
But you know what? Opinion is like the lowest form of knowledge, right? It doesn't take any effort at all, and it doesn't take much. So it requires no accountability. It's the lowest form of knowledge. There's no understanding. There's no backstory. There's no absolute truth in opinion. So we have to really guard about that. If our opinion lines up with God's opinion, hallelujah, all day long. But we have to really understand that I was sitting in church last Sunday, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, because I'll be very honest with you, when the year kicked off and John said, I know the Holy Spirit is telling me to talk about offense, I went, well, that's a bummer. Who wants to start the year off talking about offense? But the Lord began to just say to me, last Sunday morning, I was sitting here, and the Lord said, it is a bigger problem with my people, not this church. When we say church, we're talking about the church. We're talking about you and about me. Okay, not about churches, because the church is the body of Christ. So whether you're on your job or whether we're talking about this in the context of family or in any way, we're the church. And the Lord said to me, even more than sin, offense is dividing my people. Offense is causing stumbling. It is causing a falling away. It is causing deception. It is causing a lack of holy living because we are compromising, because our opinion's not as bad as that guy. So we think that that is okay with God, but it's not. He has a standard, and he lovingly wants to pull us to that.
The standard has never changed. That's the thing. The standard is his word, whether we agree with it or not. And I've been preaching for quite a while now, almost 4 years. But I got somebody. The thing with that is that what if I quit preaching tomorrow? What if I threw in the towel? What if I said, I don't believe it anymore? Guess what? The standard of his word and the truth won't change at all. Here's the thing. It's the truth whether I believe it or not. I happen to believe it. But so there has to be a standard involved. Otherwise, you're basing everything off of just opinions, and that's an impossible standard to keep. And it's an impossible way to have a culture, because there's no way that can be the rule and it not come back and get you at some point. It just will. So the standard of his word is where we have to live and where we have to be. And I want to say this too. It's easy to take someone's opinion or take someone's... We do a lot of judging, if you will. I'm not trying to say that we're mean and judgmental, but just our perspective a lot of times is based on someone's actions. And then our perspective for ourself or our judgment of ourself can be based on our intentions. Now, how fair is that? If we just go like, I'm going to hit you with what you did, but I'm going to give myself the grace of what I meant to do. See, that's not fair, is it? So with that, what we also do now this takes it to a different level. If I hold you to your actions, then it's also very possible that I'm going to follow that up with judging what your intentions were. I decide if your intentions were good or bad. While I keep my intentions as good intentions, maybe even holy intentions, because I am the Christian in the group, by the way. We can church it up, as Billy Evans calls it, churching it up. We can make ourselves better than other people if we're not careful. And that actually, biblically speaking, we're actually supposed to do the opposite and give the advantage away.
What he was talking about is we can mistakenly assign motive to people's actions. Well, they did that because la, la, la. And we make that in our mind because we have to reconcile what just was said or what happened or that look or whatever. So through our own filter and our own life experiences, we assign motive to that person. Have you ever talked to somebody that does that? Like there's no fact involved, but they interpreted someone's body language or the tone of voice that they had or... And you know what? It is so difficult to come against those kind of things because they become your reality, and they're not fact. They're not your reality.
Just a quick example. Quick example of somebody blowing through traffic. You're like, there goes an idiot right there. But what if there's a family emergency? What if you're having a family emergency and you go blowing through traffic? All of a sudden, it's okay, and you've even got something to tell the good officer if they pull you over, right? Does that make sense? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
So determining why someone did something or why something offends us, it doesn't even have to be a person-to-person thing. Sometimes it's a situation or those kind of things. But putting motive behind that can be very dangerous. You don't know someone's motive till they tell you. So guess what it forces you to do? When you are offended about something, open your mouth. Ask. Say something. So that's just something we don't do a lot of. We'd rather, talk about it, mull on it, make up our own scenario, our own, narrative about what is happening in a situation. And God does not want us to do that. He wants us to go in truth. Opinions are, they cause you to drift and digress and argue, but God's truth anchors us and it helps us to make progress and it brings people together. I want us to go to the definition because I think it's so powerful. Of the Greek, all that.
Okay.
You guys have to understand too, you know how John and I are. We'll step on each other, we'll point, we'll talk because we don't have some planned out line by line thing. We have notes, but we want the Lord to speak to you this morning about what he's unwrapping in our presence just even here, okay?
Well, it's not that we won't talk about it. Like you said, ask a question. It's that we don't talk to the person about it. We talk to somebody else about it. You see, deception is built into this thing. Like drifting, she used the word drifting away. Drifting is built in, and you're going to find out through this definition right here. Oh, I see how that's built in. I see how I can drift from the truth. If you don't have the standard, then drifting is built in. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just want to say this too, please, because people sit in sermons and they hear a topic, but they sit there the whole time and go, but this, but that, but that. We're not talking about being offended over sexual abuse or things that are, you know what I'm saying by that. Of course, that is offensive to God. The things that are offensive to God should be offensive to us. We're talking about the things that are subjective to us and are not necessarily offensive to God at first glance. Do you see it? Understand? And it's not just between people. You can allow situations, political parties, factions of people to make you offended. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is telling you about offense, listen to that today. And you will see how the enemy wants to use that as a trap, but God has a better plan.
Okay, so it is a trap. Offense is a trap of the enemy. The Greek word for offense is skandalon, and it describes the bait stick of a trap or the bait portion of a trap. How many of you know that a trap in and of itself is just kind of there? And there, even a trap just being there, I'll talk about a couple of different traps in a second, but usually a trap involves a bait. And there was a famous author that wrote a book called The Bait of Satan, and how that the enemy uses particular things as a bait to get us into a situation where sin happens. Because the sin on the face value is not the offense, because Jesus said it's impossible, but that it will come. So offenses will come, but if you fall into allowing that offense to be bait for you, what follows behind that very quickly is the opportunity to sin.
That's right. So when we talk about this trap, the definition is it's a movable part of a trap on which bait was laid and when touched caused the trap to close on its prey. And the enemy so often uses offense to draw us in and then it snaps shut and we're trapped. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever felt the bait? Have you ever been able to say no? No, I recognize that. I want you to talk about some of the ways that is happens.
So there's like the purpose of a trap. There are particular traps that are called kill traps, instant kill traps. There are also traps that, and those are actually a small percentage. Most traps are meant to hold the victim, we'll call it, the victim in place until the trapper comes along and decides about killing or not. So if we take that into the situation of offense and that there's an enemy trying to work this thing out to the worst, what he can do is come along and check the trap and see where it's at and monitor it and decide, is this an opportunity to kill, steal, destroy? And here's the thing that there I've done a little bit of trapping, and because you guys know I love the outdoors, but there's a law that goes with trapping. You're supposed to buy a license to trap. There's also a moral responsibility. If you have traps, you are supposed to check that trap every day. So if you feel like the enemy's keeping tabs on the traps in your life, believe me, he is. Every day is an opportunity. And there are some things that you can get yourself involved in that you're not going to get free of unless you have an outside source to come along and help you with that. And so did you want me to go into just a couple of traps? Okay. So there are some traps that cause instant death. There are other things that are snares. Snares are just basically a line, usually wire, and the snare is placed in the path, like a frequent path. Like if it were snowing, we don't have a lot of trapping around here because we don't have the proper things to do that with. We get rid of pests and stuff like that around here. But up north, there are actually still people that depend on trapping for some of their income for the year. And the time of the year that they would be doing that is right now, because in the wintertime, the time of their fur, the animals' furs are prime. So they don't want to what tells on the animal is the snow and the frequent tracks. So the frequent tracks, they can look for a place in the tracks where there maybe there's some brush, and maybe there's, as you look back at it and study, you can see a hole where an animal went through. They will put the snare around that, and they will attach it to something, fix it to something. So when the animal goes through it, it catches the animal, and they're trapped, and they're held until the trapper comes by and makes a decision on what to do with the animal. With that, because frequent trafficking into a place, how many times does the enemy lay a trap for us because we frequent a place? And when we come back and forth, see, you can make it easy on the enemy if you're always coming back to the same place. I've said it before like this. As believers, when we get saved, God actually gives us a new house to live in. The problem is we keep getting found at our old address. Think about that for a second. I've got a new place to live. I have a new address, but you keep finding me at the old place I used to live, doing the same old things that I used to do, falling into the same traps. And let's be honest, sometimes it's not falling into the trap. It's just walking right through one more time. Just and then why wonder what went on? If we're going to continue to go the same place. Doesn't the Bible say something about him ordering my steps now? Do you think that he's going to order you back into the old trap again? So,
can I just share something?
Absolutely.
You know, Pastor John said last week, he shared with you how he got offended after he had just talked to y'all about offense.
That's in the past.
It's my turn this week. It was my turn. So what you're saying about that path that keeps leading back this week, man, you guys, somebody that really, really deeply, deeply hurt me came into my path this week. And guess what? I went right back down, climbed right in that trap, talked about it to my, now I didn't talk about it outside of my own home, but talked about it to my husband, processing it again, going through all the stuff. And the Lord that night was like, you know, you don't feel very good, do you? Like, you're pretty down. Yeah, because you just rehearsed everything you can't change. That same path. Are you going to do that every time you see that person? Every time you think they might be where you're going to be? Has anybody else done that, or is it just me? Yes. So it's not just the trap of sin. It's the trap of offense that the Lord is like, be quiet. It's never going to change that. So just figure out where the boundaries are in me and in love and in Christ and stay there. And that's hard, you guys. I want to say, you're mean, and that was wrong, and look how good I'm doing. Look how good my family, you know, you want to do that. You walk down right that little path that Satan has for you again. Oh, good, yeah, there you are again, all worked up over that hurt, okay? And God does not want that for us, and we are big boys and girls. We are men and women that can handle that. I needed that this week. I needed that taste of, I don't like the way I'm feeling right now because I allowed that. I allowed that. I walked right down that path. So it's not always just temptation to sin or bad choices. Sometimes it is a real offense that has taken place. And you might be 100% right, but it doesn't matter because it's taking you into a trap that you can't get out of. Okay?
So we talked about just now a type of trap that doesn't really involve bait. It involves habits and going back to the same places over and over again. So so that's something in the people world versus the animals. There's something in the animal versus animal world that is very interesting. How many of you ever like watching nature shows or stuff like that? There are some reptiles and even fish that will bury themselves underwater, and out of their mouth, keyword, out of their mouth, there will come this appendage, and it looks like a stick with a little worm on the end of it. And they bury themselves down so nothing is seen But they'll have that little bait, and as other fish come up to check that out, boom, they come out and get them. If it works for animals, it works for us. Out of our mouth, we will lay some type of little bait down, and somebody gets destroyed because of it, right? Is Brent Belk still in here? He had to go. Can somebody swap with him for a minute? Okay. It won't be long. But I was going to act like I was pulling a random person to pick on this morning, but I wasn't. I was going to get Brent. Here. Let me just, before he gets in here, set this up.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Mm-hmm. You just sit right there by your pretty wife for a minute. I'll call you up when it's your turn. So how many of you know what that is? Little honey bun. Also known as plastic-wrapped manna. Like, you just about swear it fell down from heaven. So I told you, I've done a little bit of trapping in my life, and my trapping has been almost 100%. Y'all, please don't get mad at me for this stuff and come wear me out for this. But these little things right here, if you want to trap something, it's not easy to give one of these up. But almost 100%. When you stop catching them with these, you're out of the problem. They're done. There's no more in the community. But the old trapping, the old trapper's knowledge is that they'll say this: a raccoon will run past you holding a shotgun to get to that honey bun. Oh yes, it's true. So my trapping is more trickery. But there is a trapping so that's laying the bait out, okay? And drawing a line back to us, it correlates very well because sometimes it doesn't take very much. And it can be the same old sweet bait. You remember what I told you about the sycamine tree, about taking the bitter fruit and scratching it and causing a bruise on it? That causes a little sweet spot. And in a land where they didn't have a lot of fruit, they would scratch that sycamine tree, that fruit, just to make it sweet and let it bruise, and then eat it and consume it, and then they'll wait. Scratch it again, let it, and that's what we do. We continually latch onto something that's sweet. But if you catch a coyote, if you trap a coyote, there's a difference in someone that can trap a coyote and somebody that can trap them with this, because a coyote trapping takes real skill. So Brent has done it. So come up. I've been a part of it. I know how to do it. I've seen how they do it. But Brent has done it. So. So I want you to tell them how you trap those coyotes.
Like the whole process?
The process. Okay. Listen, though. Apply this to your life.
Okay, so the first thing we do is look at the lay of the land and figure out where he might travel. Likes to come up roadbeds and go places where animals would go. We get a drill and we get an auger and we make a hole. So like a rabbit would tunnel, burrow a hole. So we do that. And we come back off from that where a coyote would put his foot to stick his nose in a hole, and that's where we dig a trap. So we have to anchor the trap into the ground and connect it with all these connections and all that and dig out. And I get the trap set without getting my fingers and stuff caught into it, because that's no fun. And we have to get the trap, and you have to really work it and pack the dirt around it and make sure the jaws don't get caught too, because if he steps on any ground that moves, that's a no-no, because everything's solid. Mm-hmm. So if he steps on the edge and he feels that move, he'll back off. So once we got the trap set, then we have to get, what is it, like peat moss or something like that, pour it on around the trap, so when it rains, if it's dirt in there, it'll, you know, clump up with all this clay, and that jaws won't work. So once we put the peat moss and all that, then I get dirt that looks like the dirt around, and I shift it over the top of it just a little bit to make it look like it's undisturbed ground. And then I'm using sticks and stuff around the backside of the hole so he doesn't come around that way where the trap's not and look in that way. So if you build like with some sticks and stuff and just make it to where he has to come around and come in the way that you're getting it set up. And then normally, so he puts his foot right where I want him to, I'll put a stick across here and a couple of rocks, and he's not going to put his foot right on that. He's going to put his foot right where the hole is. So when he goes up, we put some bait on the top of the hole. We put wool from sheep down in the hole and put this god-awful stinking stuff on it and slam it down in there to attract it. And we'll put some urine, coyote urine out on the road. So as he's coming through
you
there.
You could skip that, that's gross, bro.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, you said you wanted the whole deal, so.
I asked for it.
So whichever way he's coming, he smells that bait, it stops, he looks, he sees the hole. That's tempting him, the smell on the top of the hole is tempting him, and then the wool that he sees down in there, he thinks that's his next meal, that's tempting him. So he comes in, and when he sticks that paw to try to get down in there and see it, it latches on and he's caught.
Thank you, Brent. You can wear the hat as long as you want to.
It will.
You go switch back with Ryan.
Lots of gravy.
Good answer. So here's the deal about that. Deception is the big deal on traps. Regardless if you are putting bait on the bait pan, if you're putting a noose for them to walk through because you've got a certain area for them to walk through, regardless if the bait, like what he just talked about, I saved that one for last, because the bait is just past the path. And this is the bait that I'm talking about that gets Christians. This is why I wanted to, because I know what he does is recreates a scene of nature so everything looks just right for that coyote to end up walking past and getting into. So what he's done is he's put obstacles particularly there to make it look real, not realizing that I'm really trying to deceive that coyote into putting its paw in one place. And when that happens, you got him. How many of us do pretty good on a lot of things that will check back, and this won't get everybody, and I know how to avoid this, and I know what looks right, and all of a sudden, if the ground is unstable, I'll know I need to back off. But if it looks just right, maybe nobody's looking. And maybe I can get by with it when the bottom line is it's still a trap. And this is how offenses work. And we cannot pick and choose areas of offense. And to preface, we're not talking about something tragic that was horrible as a child. I'm talking about everyday offenses. I'm talking about everyday opportunities. We've got the opportunity to draw lines, until the point where you don't have to go anywhere else to find people that are on different sides of the line. You can go to church for that. Right? Should there not be something different for us according to His Word? Here's the thing. When He gives us something and there's only one statement there and there are no options, now it becomes an instruction. If there's only one thing to do, that's an instruction. So here we go back to what I've been talking about. When there's just simple instruction, the question becomes, will I obey? Will you obey? Anything else, any other special graces I give myself that I don't give you, doesn't matter. Disobedience. And let me just say this too. Delayed obedience is still disobedience.
Amen. So some of the ways that offense makes its way into our heart... this is one you might not think of. But it happens. It's the truth of God's word. Because the truth is light to our darkness. And when we're not willing to repent, we become offended with the word. We become offended with God. And so it's not really that God's not doing what we want him to do. It's that he's not going to do what is not in his word. Right? Okay? So we can get offended with God's word. We can get offended with others with unmet expectations with our spouse. Have you ever been offended with your spouse? Because there's these unspoken, often, expectations that are not being met. And then there's this turbulence that starts under the surface, right? And this offense. They keep doing the thing that nobody's talking about, but then the passive aggressive starts coming, the rolling, and they still don't know because you've never had a discussion about it. Does that make sense? Y'all must not struggle. Y'all look holy this morning because everyone's just looking. Do you know what I mean by that? That these unmet expectations cause offense. Okay. Another is sometimes when we're intolerant of where other people are in the process. We're all in a process with God. And you know what? That can be used as a crutch sometimes. My bad behavior. Well, I'm just in a process. Don't use it for a crutch. But it is true. Are you as mature as you were 5 years ago in Christ? Probably not. Well, maybe as the person sitting next to you, maybe they're 5 years behind you. So instead of getting irritated with the immaturity or the poor choice that you see, spur your brother and sister in love in the Lord. What an idea. I'll stay away from them till they get more mature. No, God's calling you to mature them, to take them by the hand and say, we're not going to talk about it like that. We're not going to think about it like that. We're going to do this and lead them in the way. Wouldn't that be nice? I remember when I was in ministry when this happened, and one of the older women in our church, we were actually first-time youth pastors, all of 25 years old, and I remember she was...
So why are youth pastors that have never raised a teenager youth pastors?
Right.
And I was one, so I'm just saying...
Right. So we were young in ministry, and I remember one of the elderly lady in the church who I just loved. Her name was Sister Ashley. I respected her. I honored her. I listened to her prayers because I loved the way that she prayed, and she was on the money, straightforward. And I remember thinking I had a moment with her when I was 25 years old and kind of vented about a situation, and she set me straight. Honey, we don't talk like that. We don't want to talk about that. Let's pray about that, and I'll give you advice on that. But I was embarrassed, and at the same time, I was like, thank you, God. Somebody loves me. So she's been in ministry for decades and decades and decades, and she's trying to say, don't let that get a foothold. Don't let that come in your heart. And it really checked me.
She saw it was a trap.
She saw it was a trap, and she rescued me from that. So how many times are we petting people that are in traps? I'm so sorry. I'll be praying for you. I'm so sorry. So sorry that happened to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as we pet them while they're in a trap. And God is saying, get them out of the trap. Tell them no. No. Do not have that thinking. Do not have that attitude. Don't say that about your brother and sister. But it's true. Who cares? God is the conformer, not us. We're Christians called to be a family of God that love and support and spur and tell each other the truth, but we're not called to police each other. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But we are called to what he's saying, we're called to reflect. So that might mean me telling you, Tammy, no. Think of it this way. Let's pray about it that way. No, let's not. Let's not take that bait. You see what I'm saying? And here's another way that it happens. Hurt feelings. Hurt feelings are not offenses, people. Hurt feelings are just our feelings. Feelings are not true. Feelings are just emotions. But feelings are not the truth. Just because you feel a way doesn't mean it's the truth. Okay? Misunderstanding, difference of opinion, even rebellious attitude. Okay? But I want to tell you about misunderstanding because, again, guess what happened to me this week? God's like, oh, you're going to talk on Sunday with John. Okay, here. And it happened in this church. Are you ready? Okay. So I have the ability to sync my phone to my computer. Okay. So I sent out a message to our worship team this week saying, we're going to learn a new song called Grateful. We're going to do it on Sunday morning. Wasn't it wonderful? I love that song. So I sent it out to them, and I was simultaneously texting two people, okay? And I'm on my computer, okay, because I can type faster on my keyboard, and it syncs with my Mac. So I had sent this message to several people. Sent out set list yesterday. Just a heads up, there's a new song called Grateful that Ryan will be singing, so be listening to it. We will go over it on Sunday. Have a great day. So Debbie texts me back. Thanks. I had not even looked at my email since Tuesday. Love that song. The bridge is a little tricky, but I'll keep listening. Okay? So this is what she gets back from me. I send her the YouTube to the song, and here's my response. Okay, now she's just said, the bridge is a little tricky. So here's my response. Here you go. Here's the video. But you will still need to sort that out. Maybe we can look at it Sunday or have Dianya help. As we do more and more new songs, you'll need to be able to listen to them and know what's going on during the week. I'm sure she can help. She knows everything. So Debbie is like, my word, I just said it. Bridge was a little tricky. You got to have this worked out by Sunday. And if we need help, Dianya can help. And I was like, all I said was the bridge was a little tricky, but I'll be listening. So she messages me back. It's the movement of the melody I'm talking about. Thanks. And then I'm like, what is she talking about? Okay, so my other conversation was with Amanda, who said, I can't see the song because when I log into Planning Center, it takes me to the login of a church that I helped out a year ago, and so I can't ever see the set list. So my response was, here's the song, but you'll have to get that worked out, you know, so you'll know what's going on. Dianya can help. Debbie's probably like, how can Dianya help? She doesn't sing on the worship team. How's she going to know my part? Do you see how misunderstanding the enemy could have got in there and said, well, she got awful snippy about, well, we're going to have to make sure you got that worked out. Do you see? We had a big laugh about it, but what if I hadn't caught it? What if Debbie hadn't answered back and I didn't even know I sent that message? She would have given me the benefit of the doubt, or she would have said, hey, are you okay? That's not usually how our messages go to one another. Or she would have just said, Jesus in the name, whatever's going on with Christine, God, just help her and bless her. She sounds stressed out, Lord. But now do you see in context, that was very helpful to Amanda. Hey, you're going to need that, so let's get it worked out. Let's get Dianya involved. She knows everything. We'll get it worked out. But that even is how the enemy works, through misunderstanding. He will come in a completely benign situation and go, ha, 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 blah, 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 mess it all up. I'm going to make you think this and you think. And half the time, if we would just sit down and say something, that we would understand that was a misunderstanding. And here's the other side to that. We cannot be easily offended. We cannot have our feelings, oh, Tammy, I need to talk to you. I know I just talked to you 3 weeks in a row, but I need to talk to you again because it kind of hurt my feelings when you kind of looked at me sideways and I came in. No, no. You know what I mean? We have got to, offense has got to be truly something that is worth going to the wall about. Not our hurt feelings, not our perceptions, not our whatevers. We need to be willing to go to our brother and sister, not to everybody else before. Why do we do that? We do, though, don't we? We like to have our backing first, our people that agree with us, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And so what we need to learn to do is, if it's something that you cannot absorb, that you cannot get past, you only have one other choice. And it's what the Word of God says. It is to, the first choice is to overlook. This is what the Word says, Proverbs 19 and 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to look over an offense. Okay? And Romans 6, 8 and 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." The Bible says that he's swept away our offenses like a cloud. Okay? So if Christ can do that for us, Christ in us can do that for one another. Okay? For your family member, for your coworker, for the situation that keeps offending you, God can wipe that away like a cloud. Then the second choice we find in Matthew 18, and this is the key word. Not if your brother hurts your feelings, if your brother offends you, if your brother made you feel bad, if your brother looked at you sideways, if your sister was snippy. No. It says if your brother sins against you. Do you see how it's more than just how we feel? That's a true offense. When your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone.
Does the scripture say that?
It does.
Okay.
If he listens to you, you've gained your brother.
So it becomes instruction.
Right.
So then the opportunities to obey or not obey. Because it says to him alone or her alone. So you're supposed to go to one person. There is follow-up instruction. If if it doesn't get worked out there, there are other steps. And that involves letting other people know. And finally, in the church world, if it were to ever get this far, you actually would bring it to the church. And I told you, in your case, guess who that means? Nice to meet you this morning. I'm the church. So you come to me with it. But what used to happen years ago is people that I preach to, as soon as something happens, they come to me. But through instruction, and this is the way of the Lord, this is the wisdom of the Lord. When you come to me talking about somebody else, you know what my question is going to be. Have you talked to them? I'm not trying to be mean, but I've got to follow what the Word says. And you do too. Or we're both wrong. So if one of us is going to be wrong, I ain't going to be wrong. Because His Word says this. And that it's not that I'm better than you. I'm going to obey. And I'm going to try to teach you to obey. And here's the thing about it. It's tough the first time. I promise, it's tough the first time. But over time, you realize through maturity, is this worth involving more than one person? Is this worth stirring up a whole nest? And is this worth saying anything at all? Or do I absorb it? Or do I let glory come out of this by not even addressing it, letting it go? You see what I'm saying? There is actually a built-in fix. It is tough enough that the fix is built in. In other words, I don't want to go through this again. I don't think you want to go through this again. So we learn to have grace for each other. And we also learn through the times that we do have to address it that I'm not going to be as abrasive as I once was. My mother-in-law calls it having sandpaper people in your life, rubbing out your bad spots too. Every time you come, sometimes you come up against people enough times to feel like, does every time have to be an abrasion? Well, no, but it might be tough at first. But if I will do what the Word says, if I go to them, we should probably be able to work it out right there. If I've not involved everybody except the key players in it.
Yeah, it makes me think of family situations. It's so much... Well, that's a whole different story. I won't get into that example in my own life, but I wanted to say that a lot of times in these situations, our wrong responses are out of a heart of pain, and it's hard to go through this. I have failed in this process, and I'm sure many of you have failed in this process of how to handle this and this conflict. It's not for the faint of heart, but it is for the righteous, and it is for the mature, and it is for the for all of us, because we're God's children. And so when you need help with this, His Word gives you the answers. So the answer is when these offenses come, you don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? You don't just cut and run. That's not the answer. When you have conflict in your own work, you don't just go in and cut and quit your job. You need to ask God to help you. How can I make this right? Listen, you can't control anybody else. You can't control their responses, the way they think. You can't control the way that they react to you. You can come with a complete heart of love and be ripped to shreds. Leave that with God. Okay, that's not up to you to decide how the outcome is, but it is up to you to decide how to handle it. So don't cut and run. Okay, that's not God's plan. And then also, don't take on other people's offenses. Again, we are to spur each other. So you're going to have hurt feelings, and I'm going to have hurt feelings, and there's going to be misunderstandings. Donna's going to come to me maybe with something that's going on outside of this church in her life, a difference of opinion, or a rebellious person she's having to deal with, or somebody that has poor spiritual eyes, or I wrote down emotional instability or immaturity. You're going to have to deal with that, whether it's in this building, in your family, in your home, at your workplace, no matter what. But don't take on somebody else's offense. That's not yours. That's not yours. And when you do that, then you can't bring proper instruction to them. You're petting the person in the trap. So what you want to do is ask God to help you speak truth in love. Yes.
Let me just tell you, if you pet the person in the trap, you're probably going to get bit. Just saying. When someone's in pain, they can bite the closest hand that comes by. So I just want to give you this scripture. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. This is from a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I love this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. That's what I talked about. A lot of Paul said, he said, what I heard from him, I give to you. That is a one-off. You got to understand, when you get one-off statements, that means it came from God to you. Not through somebody else's filter, not tried out on a bunch of different people. Some like it, some didn't. They're saying, this is what we heard God say. This is straight to you. So that's really good advice. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, so that's our alignment right there. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So where is my lane? Where do I travel as a Christian? Where are you going to catch me at? Where do I need to be since Christ has been in my life? If there is a trap that's going to get me and you're going to ensnare me in a trap because of my frequent travel, then I need my alignment to be in a place where I'm not trapped and I'm not held. And you don't get me because he's made away from that. And if I stay in that lane is my alignment. I walk in the light as he is in the light. Does that make sense? When you do that, you will avoid trouble. You'll avoid it every time. Because why? In him is no darkness at all. There's no little traps off to the side. There's no obvious bait that gets a lot of us. I mean, look, doesn't that fit perfectly inside of there? Let me tell you, many of them have. But it's not the most obvious thing. It's not the little snare that gets you. It's not the bait on the trap. It's not the bait just past the trap with everything arranged just to get me, a particular foe. A particular trapping of a particular thing that I need to get rid of, that catches just me. Why do I keep getting trapped? Because it affects just me. They're not going to get everybody else, but it's going to get me because he's moved everything into a particular thing that looks like it'll work. Deception. It's deception. It comes back there. How do I avoid it? Walk in the light as he is in the light. My alignment is under him. That's the line of truth. Why? Because he's truth. Amen? Amen. This is a big thing. that we're talking about. And I've spent, one Sunday, the ice storm got us, but I've spent every other Sunday this year talking about offense. And I'm not sure that it's over yet. If you've not had a chance to listen, you can go on our website. These are archived there. The message, all you'll hear is just the message. But there's a lot of really good instruction. And I'm telling you, it's as relevant as anything I've ever preached for the time that we're living in right now. The opportunity is there every day for us to be offended. Even the people inside the home, even your own family. I've seen family situations where someone has said, I love you, but I'm going to have to love you from a distance. I'm sorry, I fell out of the Bible looking for where that was it. It wasn't on any of them pages or anything. I'm going to love you, but I'm going to have to love you from a distance. That's not his will. That's not his plan. Especially when you consider that eternity involves one God and us all around his throne, right? Those that will obey. So I need to try to see how we can work it out here, how we can live this thing now, so that I'll be pretty practiced up when I get to heaven. And when we, you remember the old song, when we all get to heaven?
And also, let me just speak to somebody else too. If somebody's offended with you, you can't help that. You just keep your heart from being offended and stay true to the Lord and let him worry about that and work that out. Don't spend so much time trying to defend yourself. Let the Lord be your defender and keep a sweet spirit and an open heart. And you know what? We all fail at this. We all have failures at not being offended. And we all have failures of trying to work out people that are offended. Some of you, you know, the offense might be sin, but some of you, it just might be the rejection of man. When somebody rejects you, that just sends you into a tailspin. God knows your heart. He knows the things that are a trap for you. And so that's what he wants to speak to us this morning. You're not responsible for how to work it out. You're just responsible for keeping your heart right before God and asking him, be my defender, and at the same time, help me to make the right choices that honor you and please you. And it's not easy. I mean, can I give you some great, not so great news? It'll please God, but it will come at your expense. Okay? And you have to be okay with that. It'll come at your expense that you might have to overlook your feelings and some things, but God will be honored in that, and he will be glorified in that.
Let's pray. Father, this we've tried to lighten it up, but this is still a heavy word, and it hits every one of us because your word said it'll hit every one of us. Jesus said it. It's impossible that offenses will come. They're coming. But our response to that can please you. And we ask you to help us with that. We know that your word says that there are situations that don't make it easy if someone is offended with us. But your word does say for us to live peaceably, if possible. So help us to search out peace, to be peaceable, to live our lives in a fashion that reflects peace. And then that we keep our peace in you. And don't let ourselves become easily offended. There's a way out. There's a path to take. And it's following you. And we're so grateful for that. Thank you for the instruction of your word. Now, God, with instruction, I ask you to help us to obey. And not just to obey. That's actually a one-time thing. Help us to become obedient. So we obey all the time. Every time. That's our path. That's our alignment. Following you. And obedience. Help us with that, God. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, don't look at your neighbor and say, I hope you listened real good today, because I had that, but I was glad you was coming today, and I knew that it was going to help you if you got here.